The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Well, everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom's engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, February 23rd, 2018. And the program re-airs, by the way, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning at 7. We're live on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We stream and have our podcasts available for you anytime at my website, buckmastershow.com. The live stream also is available at kvoi.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, the editor-publisher of that fine online news service, is with me in studio. Dylan, thank you for your support over the years here as we're now entering our eighth year, and I think Tucson Sentinel, you're about year number nine.
Something like that. You start losing count after a while.
Year ahead of us before we launched. Also, thanks to Green Valley News and Sal Rita's Sun, Tucson Media Group, which includes Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Also, Three Sonorans is one of our partners. Our Friday Focus interview, State Senator Steve Farley is with us on the live line. Senator Farley is a Democrat from District Number 10 in Tucson. Senator Farley is also one of three Democratic candidates for Arizona governor. Joining me to talk with Senator Farley, we heard from Dylan Smith, and Joe Ferguson is here as well. Joe, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in. Senator Farley, you're up in Flagstaff?
Yeah, I'm getting all over the state all the time.
That's
the way it works. Last week, I went up to Kingman on one day, then I went through Havasu for breakfast, and I had lunch in Yuma, and I was back in Tucson for dinner.
And what about signatures for your run for governor? How many do you need?
We need 5,200, but we've already passed our minimum. We're just trying to go out there and get as many as possible to try to be able to get people as committed early as they can. We've got a lot of very excited volunteers out there. You'll see us around at the book fair, at the street fair, at the peace fair. We're going all the different fairs and getting them all over Pima County, but all over the state as well.
Let's talk about the big story, and that is, of course, guns and what to do about this issue of school violence. I see that you and other lawmakers, mostly Democrats, had urged the governor to convene a task force on school violence, and he said apparently it's not necessary at this point.
Well, that was actually a bipartisan letter. We got 12 Republicans on that as well, because when you see the horror that happened at in Florida, and we've seen the horror happen too many times before, and I personally felt that horror as a parent, because my youngest daughter went to Tucson High, and she was there all 4 years. At least once a year, there was a lockdown, and I remember one of those lockdowns. There was a rumor that it was a shooter walking the hallways. And she sent me text messages of the deaths they had piled up against the door to blockade against the shooter coming in, the kids cowering. And it's a feeling of utter helplessness when your kid is there in that situation. There's nothing you could do. It's horrifying. And my situation, thank God, there was no real shooter. But you can just imagine what it's like when this really happens. We have to do something, and we have tools. But this governor, this legislature, they've refused to act. After the January 8th shootings, Gabe Zimmerman is a very good friend of mine, and his parents I've known for many, many years. I worked with them to come up with a piece of legislation that just made sense to me, to limit the size of magazines that could be sold in Arizona. Because in the case of Tucson, the killer was subdued when he paused to reload, after 33 bullets had been shot from the one magazine. If you could limit that size to 10, then you could reduce the carnage by 2/3 that day. And I remember Barry Goldwater said, if you couldn't shoot a deer with 5 bullets, you ain't worth a damn anyway. So there was no reason that that couldn't go through in a bipartisan way. It was never heard. And none of the bills that we put are never heard. I had a bill this year that would require background checks on all gun sales. Private party, gun show, the whole thing. 93% of gun owners agree with that. The bill was never heard. The bills that do get heard are more guns in bars bills, more guns in schools bills, more guns up to the chain link fence of a school playground bills. And these are all signed by Governor Ducey. So he's struggling trying to explain it. All he's been doing is parroting NRA talking points about not politicizing tragedies. Well, if it's not time to talk about this, Governor, now, is it time to talk about Sandy Hook, maybe? Is it time to talk about maybe Tucson? When is the time? Because this is the problem we have in this country, and we're going to have that discussion.
All right. Here's Dylan Smith.
Speaking about when the time is, there are a whole lot of people out there who are very firmly supportive of what they see as their Second Amendment rights. Do we want to be making decisions that limit people's rights when we are in a worked-up state? How do we make sure that we are not overreacting and, pardon the pun, jumping the gun?
When will we not be in a worked-up state? That's my question. We certainly didn't hear George W. Bush talk about how we need to wait till we're not in a worked-up state before we responded to the Twin Towers coming down. We need to solve a problem.
And in that case, didn't we make a lot of decisions that limit people's rights, the no-fly list, where people's rights are limited without any due process?
When we look at the tools we have, none of these are things that are hot-headed. We've tried these things. After Sandy Hook in Connecticut, they put in background checks for all gun sales. The gun violence rates plummeted by 40% in Connecticut when they did that. These are tools that are actually working, but to not even be able to talk about them. And we can't talk about when is the time? Does the NRA think that we should wait for a month after a mass shooting? Well, they're happening every day now. We have to have the conversation. We can't keep saying, as I heard Sylvia Allen say on the floor yesterday, that this is just God's will. We can do something about this. We have the tools. We've not used them. We've not had the discussion. And our kids are now out in the street marching because they're tired of waiting for us. I mean, back in the 60s, kids started coming up and they had activism because their friends were being killed in Vietnam half a world away. Now their friends are being killed in their own classrooms over here. So they're marching. Getting that kind of activism, getting us to pay attention. You know, we've created a pretty big mess in this world for the kids of today. We have to start cleaning up some of that mess.
Senator Farley, if you were...
You can say governor.
Jumping the gun, speaking of.
Excuse me. If you became governor, as Governor Farley, would you do as the Florida governor has decreed, I guess today, that there will be a armed school resource officer on every campus in Florida schools?
Well, that didn't work too well at Parkland High School because, as we understand it, they did have an armed school resource officer, and he was standing in the parking lot doing nothing during the time the shooting was happening. The more guns you have in schools, the more chance that gun will be taken by some other student who may be in the school who is unhinged in some way. It may be used by a teacher who might be snapped. And no teachers that I know of want to be the security guard. So having more access to guns in a school doesn't help the situation. We hear this all the time about how a good guy with a gun is what solves these situations. When the police come on the scene, they don't know who the good guy with a gun is, different from the bad guy with a gun. You can't actually tell the difference. What we need to be able to do is assure that there are fewer guns in the hands of those who should not be possessing them.
Here's Joe Ferguson. Joe, join in the conversation.
So you've talked about the governor, but talk to me about the legislature. Is there really a political atmosphere that they would be willing to pass sensible gun laws? I mean, last time I checked, they're more interested in a state gun than they are in passing such legislation.
And that's still the way it is at this point. I mean, that just emphasizes that sometimes on certain topics, you can't change the minds of the legislature, so you have to change their bodies at the ballot box. And I think there's a real opportunity of doing this November. folks are kind of fed up with this kind of ideological stuff that ultimately hurts all of us, in this case, endangers our children. I see a tremendous energy for change all over the state, and I've been traveling everywhere. I've been to Flagstaff 19 times since last June. I've been to Yuma 9 times. I've been to Clifton 3 times. And I'm seeing energy from everywhere, and it's not just from Democrats. I'm seeing independents. I'm seeing even Republicans who want to create a government that just has grown-ups in the room for a change instead of reality show stars. They want people who just want to solve our problems together, because we got plenty of them. And they're done with the sideshow, because it's become dangerous and it's not entertaining anymore. They simply want somebody who has the experience to be able to get stuff done and understands that they're governing for everybody, not just the fringe primary voters in their own party.
All right, we'll take our break right here at 12:15 on The Buckmaster Show. Senator Farley sticks around. We'll talk to him right after we take our break. Dylan Smith sticks around as well, and Joe Ferguson. Be right back on the Friday edition of Buckmaster. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash. Then we talk with Oro Valley Mayor Dr. Satish Hiremath. Buckmaster airs live during the noon hour each weekday on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Bill Buckmaster with you on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. With me in studio, Joe Ferguson, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith, the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. With us on the live line from Flagstaff, where I assume it's a pretty chilly day, is State Senator Steve Farley.
It's been pretty chilly all over the state for a while now.
It is, I tell you.
Yeah.
Rio Nuevo, the Arizona House approved and has sent over to you and your colleagues, Senator Farley, in the Senate, Rio Nuevo, and extending it, 10-year plan. Do you think this will pass?
I think it will, yeah. I mean, the Fletcher McCusker has done a tremendous job at resurrecting what was the poster child for bad government projects for a while there, and turning into something that actually is making a huge difference in terms of economic development and jobs here in Tucson. And and I think he's done a good job at expressing the success that they've had, that in being able to create those jobs and help the economy, so that even Republicans understand that this is a good thing. So I think that they've got it going. They've got some good projects in the pipeline. They've had some good successes they've been able to talk about, and I think it's going to go through.
Dylan Smith, you're up.
Let's get down to some brass tacks here. We were discussing a little bit during the break when you weren't listening to us, Steve.
That's the joy of calling in on the live.
Exactly.
Line.
You don't get the setup for the questions. No. So, but I'm going to pop this one on you.
That's okay.
It's been quite a while since a Democrat has been elected the governor of Arizona. You've got some pretty good issues that you, as you see them, to run on. But realistically, if you are the Democratic nominee, if you get through the primary, how are you going to beat Doug Ducey?
Well, the last time we had a Democratic governor, in fact, was also the last time we had a Republican president. There is a natural tendency of the party in power to get punished by voters in the first off-year election. And that's where we're at right now in the calendar. In addition to that, we're seeing this blue wave get a sweep across the country. Virginia, Alabama, Wisconsin, just a couple nights ago, Kentucky, where we're seeing massive swings in very Republican districts going towards Democrats. But we can't simply depend on a blue wave. We've got to stir up the water ourselves here. And I think that there's an opportunity right now to actually get a broader coalition where we're going to get new Democrats out to vote, absolutely. But I think there's a whole lot of people who are disgusted at what politics have become on a national level and on a state level. And there's a lot of Republicans really, really angry at the cuts to education that this governor has done. When he proposed a 0.4% raise for teachers at the same time as he was giving out 20% raises to his political appointees in his inner circle, there are a lot of angry Republicans. There's a guy named Buster Johnson, who's a Tea Party supervisor out in Mojave County, who published an op-ed in the Havasu News this last summer that was published in a bunch of rural papers around the state that called Ducey a hypocrite because he said he balanced a state budget without raising taxes, but all he did was shove responsibilities and costs to cities and counties who had to raise taxes to balance their budgets. And the Tea Party doesn't like that either. And when you combine that with some of the polls I've seen recently, with Ducey being underwater with favorability by a lot, and a lot of people just not knowing who he is, and we've seen recent, just this last week, it was announced that the Republican Governors Association has already put in an ad buy for Ducey for this campaign this early, and no other incumbent Republican has gotten that. That tells me that they've seen some internal polling that's pretty darn bad. So I'm thinking that this is not a good time for him. And it's certainly, when I go around the state, it's not a good time for him, because I'm getting 200 people in Sun City Grand to show up and hear me speak, and they're thrilled. That's not a progressive bastion. 150 people in Fountain Hills, not a progressive bastion. Folks are excited about change, and they simply want somebody who can solve problems.
You're running against Ducey is, of course, you need to get through the primary first. You've got now another candidate from Southern Arizona in the Democratic primary with Kelly Fryer jumping in. Does that sort of divide your base as a Democrat from Southern Arizona and make it a little bit more difficult for you to run this race?
Well, I found it interesting in Tim Steller's column today in The Star that she announced that one of her big issues was to keep texting while driving legal, that she thought we ought to not have a law to ban texting while driving. And I think if that's the case, I don't think she's going to find a lot of support for her campaign. I recently, we had my bill got through unanimously through the Senate Transportation Committee. We had a 90-minute session on why we need to have ban driving while texting in this state. We're one of only three states that don't do it. I was the first legislator in the country to propose this bill in January 2007. In that committee hearing, we had 90 minutes of testimony from 18 different victims or their families, in case they were deceased. And there was not a dry eye in the House. When you hear what happens, and these were conservative Republicans, these were liberal Democrats, these were independents, the texting driver doesn't care what party you are when he runs into you and kills you. That's an issue that 91% of Arizonans agree that we need to text and drive, a ban on texting while driving. It's just common sense. And when a candidate comes into a campaign and says that we shouldn't do that, it just doesn't say that. I don't think she's going to get a lot of support.
Joe Ferguson, time for you.
So we're talking about transportation for a bit. The legislature has rejected two different attempts to change the gas tax. What's ahead for actually people who've been crying, begging for more money for roads? If the legislature won't act, who is?
Well, there are a couple bills going through right now, they've actually passed through the Senate already. That there's a bill that will allow counties to be able to extend their sales tax to be able to have for transportation projects. So that's an option that people will be able to have. And then there's another bill that will allow a fee to be charged per car to be able to raise enough money to stop the HERF shift. So there's that money is going through. Senator Bob Worsley, his Republican from Mesa, has been spearheading these efforts. And I think those actually might get through this year, so there is some hope. Governor Ducey sadly proposed shifting another $90 million from our gas tax funds to something else this year. But I think the legislature will come back and want to reverse that.
What will the how? This is pretty much the halfway point now for the legislative session. How do you see this one going? Kind of wrapping it up late April, early May, or earlier?
I think it's going to be in April because there's a lot of people running for a lot of offices who want to get out and campaign. I don't see a lot of appetite for making this go on for a long time, and while the issue with Don Shooter earlier, where we ejected Don Shooter for his sexual harassment history, that slowed down things a little bit at the beginning, as well as a special session on opioids. It seems to be speeding up now, and they're starting to be talking about budget, even though the budget could make things drag on a little bit. I still don't see us going past late April in this session. It just kind of feels like that's the way it is.
How about education? And when all is said and done, how will this budget help, or will it help Arizona kids?
Well, when Governor Ducey came out with the State of the State and his budget proposal, it was all about spin and not about reality. That's disappointing because that's all we've seen. He said that there was new money he was putting into education, but it was actually less than the money that he cut it by his first year out of the gate. So it seemed more like a cynical strategy to actually keep us 50th in the country in funding while saying that he's restoring funding because he cut it his first year. That's just not right. Right now, 52.8% of teaching positions in Arizona are either vacant or held by somebody without proper qualifications because our teachers are getting paid 50th in the country in average salaries. It would take a 7% raise to get to 49. So his proposal of 0.4% raise doesn't do anything. Right now, other states are treating Arizona's teachers like a farm team, where they're coming in, finding our best, offering them a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 signing bonus, and they're leaving. So we've lost 1,000 teachers already since the beginning of the school year. We cannot function as a society if we don't invest in our schools right now at a significant rate. And we have the money to do so while lowering sales taxes. And that's my plan that I'm working on. But I don't see that happening from this governor. I think we're going to have to depend on the next governor, and hopefully that'll be me next January.
All right. And where can people find out more about your campaign?
Well, you can go online to farleyforarizona.com. And you can sign up to volunteer. You can contribute a little bit to help us keep up with the Koch brothers guy. And you can find out more about me and read my Farley reports that I write every week in the legislature. I've written 290 of those now. In-depth policy stuff, which I'm sure is a rich vein of opposition research for Governor Duke.
All right, Steve Farley, thank you very much. Have a safe trip back to Tucson. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
Adios.
Senator Steve Farley with us on the Buckmaster Show. Dylan and Joe and myself talk about the big stories of the week on our Friday roundtable right after we take our mid-show break here on Buckmaster.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. 25 minutes now until 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Dylan Smith is here, the editor-publisher of the very fine TucsonSentinel.com online news service. And Joe Ferguson is here, political reporter for, I think, fine Arizona Daily Star. I mean,
just fine? Come on.
I mean, very fine. Your paper's looking, especially the Sunday paper. I think you guys have really beefed it up. A lot of good reporting in there.
Yeah, we got more to come.
No, there really is good stuff. Just a little bit of a follow-up to our interview with Senator Farley. He's hopeful, like I think all Democrats still that are running in 2018, that there will be this so-called blue wave. I don't know. This issue about guns and schools, this one seems to be sticking, where we've had some of these horrible school shootings, and it seems like after a couple of days, it's gone. But
Well, I think it's a little early to tell if it's sticking.
Right.
It's been a week now.
Okay.
You know, that's whether that will still be a something that is really resonating, not just emotionally, but as far as swaying people's stances on policy and voting in 6 months. I think that's a more open question. Certainly, Farley's correct that generally, in the first congressional elections in a new administration, you see sort of a reversal of the tide. You know, pretty much every time a new president comes in, his party will lose some seats, not just in Congress, but all, you know, at every level. At 2 years in, that has been a fairly consistent pattern, that people sort of instinctively like balanced, somewhat divided government.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide that, the president has Republican or Democrat, I'm going to vote the other way this time around.
And Joe, people want something done. That's kind of the way it is after these kinds of events. People say, let's do something. But I think when you get down to what can be done and the reality of that, you have the Florida governor saying that they're going to try to put armed resource officers in every school. I asked Mark Stegman, the president of the TUSD governing board, who was on the show yesterday, would you be open to that at TUSD? And that's going to be discussed, apparently, in an upcoming meeting. Then if they do decide, yes, we'd like to put armed guards at TUSD schools, then there's the issue, where does the money come to pay these extra people in a district that's so financially strapped right now?
And if we're talking about all the districts, if you go down the road, it's going to be even harder for Sunnyside, for M5, for Vail to pay for those exact same officers. So it's a lot of promises right now, but let's see what happens in follow-through 3 months from now.
Having an armed guard or an actual armed law enforcement officer in schools is not a panacea. It's not something that magically makes this not happen. There was an armed deputy at that school in Florida. And he was,
he heard the shots.
He didn't show up to the incident. He was already at the school And, you know, you can criticize his reactions. We don't really know the entire details about what was going on there yet. But go back a ways, there was an armed deputy at Columbine who was stationed at that school and could do nothing. You know, having somebody there with a gun, the, you know, proverbial good guy with a gun, doesn't make this not happen. That's not a, you know, the be-all, end-all solution.
And, yeah, and I'm, go ahead, Joe.
And I've seen on Facebook today a number of teachers in Tucson that say, hand me a gun and that'll be my last day teaching in school.
Hmm. Oh, I look at all the incidents that we've seen of, you know, teachers who misplace their gun in school, leave it in the bathroom by accident to be found by some kids. The incident in, I think it was in Minnesota, where a police officer was in an elementary classroom and a kid reached over and pulled the trigger on his gun while it was in the holster. The presence of a gun doesn't automatically make people safer. It, of course, doesn't automatically lend itself to things that are more dangerous, but it creates these circumstances in which even more bad things can happen, unfortunately.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in our conversation. Joe Ferguson is here and Dylan Smith. Joe, I was reading your piece in the Arizona Daily Star. These new firms that are thinking about moving to Tucson, they would have their water lines paid kind of as an incentive. That passed the council on Wednesday, vote of 6-1. Rahina Romero said no. Is this something that, why was her, what was the opposition as far as she was concerned?
He understands that the money had to come from somewhere, and $2.5 million, that money's coming directly from increases in our own water bills.
So the customers will pay for this?
Indirectly, yes.
Yeah. And when would that happen?
Well, it's a good question. There are about 10 to 12 parcels along the highway where these areas could be good for manufacturing or for other areas, but you know, we have to see if whether there's interest there. Council members said, you know, they're sick of losing companies like this to Phoenix, and they think that they're trying to even the playing field by offering this incentive. But first, we have to see if anybody takes it, and the council will look at each proposal on a case-by-case basis.
For context, how much is Tucson Water's budget every year? Do we know? Sorry to put you on the spot.
It's not a number I have committed to memory.
Hmm. Seat of the pants, what's your guess? I'm just trying to figure out, you know, like what is, we're talking about $2.5 million over a stretch of years, not immediately.
It's a single digit percentage.
Yeah. I mean, Tucson Water is a $100 million budget, some, you know, yeah. Random guess on my part. But so this is not a, you know, a massive investment on the part of Tucson Water.
No. And it would come back in spades. A $2.5 million tax break would be required for a $10 million investment.
So, and this isn't just one piece of property for this $2.5 million. This is all of these properties together.
I mean, it could be for one piece of property, but it would have to be a pretty large investment.
Yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my head around the scope of what this is.
It's putting a pipe in the ground.
But I mean, money-wise, comparative to the entire, you know, what Tucson Water does throughout the course of the year.
My glib answer aside, I just mean that it's literally just putting a pipe in the ground. Those aren't that expensive at the end of the day.
And would this just be the water supply? It wouldn't be all of the other charges that go for it.
No.
That basically goes to the county for wastewater, right?
Correct.
Installing sinks and all that.
Joe Ferguson, you've been following the situation with South Tucson. What's the future of that community as far as a incorporated city?
I truly believe that South Tucson is one moderate size emergency away from being bankrupt.
Hmm.
So we know that starting March 1st, that they will cut the number of firefighters that will be out responding to 911 calls. The firefighters have opted to quit mostly, rather than be on a crew that's unsafe to both them and to the people they're trying to help. We'll see what happens come next week, but they're entering a very dangerous time where they could be in a public emergency. But we'll
see. If
they
could not meet payroll, what happens?
Do you show up for work after your boss can't pay you no more?
Probably folks won't do that.
Well, and then the question is that, are we talking about cops? Are we talking about people in HR? We don't know. And that's the question. So Tucson's in a very dangerous time. And the problem is that they're going to the polls in 2 weeks. But nobody that I've talked to that is willing to be part of that recall election is giving any thought to the possibility of deincorporation.
And South Tucson, sorry, Bill, is a charter city. They're not a town, so doesn't the legislature have a limited amount of authority to step in and do something about this?
That's correct.
Whereas if they were a town, they would basically be a creature of the state, where the legislature could just take them over next week if they wanted to. That's a much more complex issue.
They'd have to deincorporate and then become a county island, and then whether or not the city of Tucson would want to come in is a big question.
But the deincorporation process, does that require a vote of the people?
It does.
South
Tucson tried to do this back in 1984, and they failed.
So what happens if they do go bankrupt and are basically no longer able to function as a city, but they are still incorporated? Are we just into a gray area there?
Well, I mean, discharging debt is what bankruptcy is about, but city of South Tucson doesn't have a lot of debt that can be discharged. They have a couple of legal cases against them, and they have some old bonds that they're still paying off, but at the same time, that's just,
I don't mean bankrupt in the sense of declaring bankruptcy, but just if they hit that point where they can't function as a city anymore and they seem to be teetering on that.
The question is that whether they're doing it now. The city of South Tucson residents pay the most in taxes compared to any other part of Southern Arizona or the greater Tucson area at the very least, and they get the least number of services. Residents might not even notice the difference, but that's the on-the-ground reality. They pay more and they get less.
When is the next payroll? I mean, we'll keep an eye on it. Is it next Friday or what?
It's every other week. So, and they've already said out loud that they are, working on a 14-day cycle.
Whoa.
Ouch.
Oh, boy. Dylan, you'll be moderating a debate with the... A debate. It's more of a forum.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna. There'll be six candidates. This is the six folks who are in the Democratic primary for CD2.
Dr. Matt Hines, former Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, Billy Kovacs, Mary Mattiea, Barbara Sherry, who we're going to meet here on the program, I think, Tuesday. She's with us, and Bruce Wheeler. Barbara's the only one that we have not had on the program to talk with our listeners about their plans. So when the venue is?
It will be the ballroom at Quail Creek on Sunday afternoon. Doors open at 1. The event will start around 1:30. 1:30 to 3, and somewhere in between a debate and a town hall, not really a town hall, a forum, sorry. I'm going to try and really get these folks to answer some serious questions and maybe challenge each other a little bit and give voters the chance to see what the differences are between them, get them away from their canned talking points, hopefully, and get down into the real nitty-gritty on some issues that are important to people in Southern Arizona.
And there's no admission charge.
Nope.
This is free and open to everyone at 1:30 at the Madera Clubhouse Ballroom, and that's in Quail Creek.
Correct, sir.
Okay, we had one of there's five actually, Joe, now candidates who say they're interested on the Republican side in CD2. We had Casey Welch with us, and very strong. His big issue is immigration. And I said, well, what do you want to do with the Dreamers? And he said, send them back. So is there some area there that these candidates feel they could exploit on to the right of Leah Marquez Peterson?
I think that there's four people that are betting that they can be a better Republican than Leah. And it looks like, at least for Casey, that he's going to the right of Leah on certain subjects. And the question becomes is how much can these candidates say they like the wall, they want to deport everybody, get a real hardline stance. But we won't know anything until we start seeing polling.
And we won't know if they even gather enough signatures to make the ballot. And that's something folks, you know, you can. I could say I'm a candidate right now for CD2, but
you're
I
announcing?
No.
But number 12, right here. on the Buckmaster show.
Yeah, you heard it here first, but folks. I could say that, but I wouldn't have signatures to back it up, which you have to have to actually get on the ballot, and that is May, I believe, something like that. The end of May.
It is, and you know, I had a hard, fast rule in 2016 about who we would talk about as candidates, and they'd have to fill out certain forms, and there were people that just never made it even to that point. And I'm talking a one-page form here, people, and they just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, first you have to fill out the form to get the petitions to get your signatures. That's sort of the minimal basic effort to actually be talked about as a candidate. And then you have to go do the work to get yourself on the ballot. And we might see some of these folks not get over that hurdle.
Right.
With four of them in, you know, if they all do, that would really, I think, divvy up the pie that is, you know, on the right flank of Leah Marquez Peterson.
Can you sign
there.
As many of these as you want, or can you only sign once?
You can sign once. And it comes down to if you sign multiple ones and they figure that out when they review the petitions, it's the first signature.
Oh my
that
goodness,
counts.
Bill Buckmaster's name on every petition here. That won't work. No,
well, which is why you see somebody who's a very active candidate like Steve Farley out trying to lock up everybody's signatures. Then they can't sign anybody else's
yeah,
petitions.
There you right. go. All right, folks. Joe Ferguson, what's in the paper coming up, your story?
We are working on a poll about transportation. We talked to approximately 1,600 Tucsonans, and they are willing to pay more for better roads.
Okay. Dylan, you want to promote anything other than your event?
Well, I'm, you know, pretty focused on trying to come up with some really good questions for that. And this won't, with six people on stage, it's really hard to do a town hall sort of format where you have the public ask the questions. But we are actively asking folks to send in their questions. You can comment on that story on TucsonSentinel.com, okay. on the post on our Facebook page. Let us know what you want to know about, and we will put that all into the hopper and make some sausage and try and get them to answer.
Have fun. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back. Matt Russell joins us. Find out what's going on. I wonder if there's another restaurant opening. We'll find out right after this. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is moving to 635 West Roger Road. Our new home is almost done. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesomely cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, and a state-of-the-art clinic, and much more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us at 635 West Roger Road this spring and fall in love all over again. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport, and when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights, and with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health.
Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. All righty then, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great starting place for you for your visit to Silver City is their fine website, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will find the complete listing of the many very fine places to stay and the many recreation opportunities. This place, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of America's really beautiful areas of the Southwest, and it's just a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, yippee-ki-yay, Bill Buckmaster. Happy rodeo
week. Yeah, happy rodeo weekday or whatever. Anything cowboy-related for Weekend Watch?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of rodeo food and beverage talk this week, and yesterday's release of Tucson's very first locally distilled bourbon is no exception. It's called Hard Way Bourbon, and it's from the guys at Three Wells Distilling Company, neither of whom, by the way, ever leave home without their trademark boots and Stetson. And check this out, a cast iron anvil that's been in the distiller's family since Abe Lincoln was president actually inspired this whiskey with the spirit that hard work pays off all the time. Starting this weekend, you can find Hard Way Bourbon at their distillery and across the bars and restaurants around town.
How about getting into a cowboy cookout?
Yeah, you got to get the chow line on Saturday at the Tankaverde Ranch. It's the cowboy cookout. Perfect opportunity to celebrate rodeo. True Western meal under the stars by the roaring fire. You're going to get an all-you-can-eat buffet of steak and pulled pork and chili rub chicken, cornbread, cast iron mac and cheese, all for just $35, which includes live Western music and dancing. And did I mention it was all you can eat, though?
Oh, yeah.
Get it up. Tankaverde Ranch.
You'll be lining up there very soon, won't you? What's the deal with the mountain oysters, Matt?
Yeah, you know, another one of my favorite Western traditions for Rodeo Week is what they call the mountain oyster.
Uh-huh.
El Corral Steakhouse on River Road. But those in the know will tell you that they're not oysters, Bill. They're otherwise known as those delicate little danglers found near a bull's nether region. Now, a dozen of these beauties come to an order, which is the perfect starter before you move on to their slow roasted prime rib. It's rodeo week, Bill, so go have a ball at El Corral. Sorry, I just couldn't
There you go. Have a good one, partner.
Cheers. Right back at you.
Thanks a lot, Matt Russell. All right, the Bill Buckmaster program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible, LLC, I should say, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Our thanks to Chris DeFond for the original music, our original theme music here on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you so much, Tom Fairbanks. Tom does a great job as my engineer producer each Friday on the other side of the glass. Our operations manager, Ray Allen, is in that seat Monday through Thursday. Of course, the whole team, the ladies up front, do such a great job making sure all of the commercials play when they should. Thanks very much to Jerry Cross, the production manager, who does just such a great job with all of our commercials. He's also a very funny guy. Thanks also to Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of the station. All of us have one wish for you this weekend. Make it a good one and be safe.